Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We'll go to the Western Hotline now to talk more about the draft. Mike Morial from NHL.com on the Western Hotline. Mike, it's Joe and WGR in Buffalo. Thanks for taking some time out for us today.
What's going on, Joe? Glad to be on the program. Thanks for having me.
Is this your favorite time of the hockey season, or is that, even though there's no hockey on the ice?
This is my favorite time of the hockey season, Joe. No
All right.
doubt about it. I love the NHL Combine coming up to Buffalo, catching that. It's always great to talk with the players, learn a little bit more about them. You see so much of them on the ice, so to see them one-on-one, and for them to finally meet you after talking on the phone for so long throughout the course of the season is really neat. But the NHL draft, Joe, right? I mean, it's we're going live for the first time in 3 years.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of excitement, a lot of anticipation. Fans will be in the building, draft and trade talk on the floor. So really looking forward to it.
I wonder if that actually could even up the amount of trades that happen. Does that typically happen where GMs actually get up and like walk over to the other table? And will we see more trades maybe because of that? I mean, I'm hoping.
See, I couldn't really tell you if there's plenty of walking around. I could say that much.
Yeah.
You see GMs and scouts walking around, milling with you know, the guy over at the number 2 table from the number 23 table. And I would imagine that there's a little bit of banter going on. Hey, what's going on? I hear you got 3 picks. You got 2 picks. What's it going to cost to maybe a little smirk or grin? What's it going to cost to maybe grab one of those picks? And from that point, I guess they go back, sit down at their own tables, and then maybe get on the phone to make it a little bit more personal and not knowing what's going on with the other GMs in the house. So I would imagine that there's a lot of trade talk. And to answer your question, Joe, I think there may be some movement here in this draft just for that purpose. I mean, it's just the excitement, and I know GMs and scouts are excited too to be in person, so you got to figure it's going to up the ante a little bit.
Before we get to the Sabres part of the draft, and there are 3 parts to that, number one, is it definitively Shane Wright? Because even TSN's Bob McKenzie, we've seen in the last couple of days, he had a ranking where Wright wasn't number one. And typically, I feel like, Mike, by this point, the week before the draft, we usually know. Do we know, or is it more up in the air than it's been in past years for who goes first?
Well, I'm going to be completely honest with you, Joe. I can't speak for what other, writers believe and what they think. All I can do is go by what I've seen, who I've spoken to, the vibe I get, the feeling I got at the NHL scouting combine. And I still feel as though while there are some questions, and I got that from a lot of scouts, I wish I saw more in Shane Wright's game. To me, when I've watched this kid, Joe, I think there's a completeness about Shane's game to which he has that innate ability to rise to the level of play required to get results. Whether it's with his speed, the exceptional quick hockey wits, or just that competing with that never give up approach. I mean, he plays with the level of confidence and poise that'll lead any team that he's taken. I'd best sum it up by acknowledging the one constant factor in his favor is that whenever Shane Wright has the puck on his stick, something good's going to happen. He's just a little bit different from other prospects. Everyone's different. Everyone has their own game, their own niche on how they go about their business on the ice, whether it's a forward and promoting offense, whether it's a D, whether it's an offensive defenseman. Goalie, stop the puck. But in Shane Wright's case, You know, he makes the skill plays, and you know, whatever team does draft him, I believe that that will be Montreal. I don't know who they're taking, but I if I were the number the team with the number one pick, I'd be taking Shane Wright. Look, I love Juraj Slafkovský. I love Logan Cooley, two exceptionally talented players. I even like Simon Nemec. I think he should be in the conversation for maybe a top three pick in this draft as well, Joe. But for me, it's Shane Wright, number one in my opinion.
So the Sabres have three first-round picks. On the front end with them, is this a good year to have three first-round picks?
I think so. You know, I know there have been some scouts that say this draft might not be as, you know, deep as maybe others. You know, going into the draft, we talked about Shane Wright and what he's been able to do. Logan Cooley, Slafkovský, Nemec, they've certainly closed the gap a little bit, but you know, I think it's an interesting class in the sense that a lot of these kids, Joe, had a gap in their development with the pandemic, some less than others. But I think that's going to be the interesting thing to see how that gap in development affects each individual player. But I think you're going to see a lot more room for growth. You know, one would anticipate this year an increase in 19-year-olds who have been through the draft, you know, once or twice already getting picked up. But it's tough to try and predict it, right? It's a crazy day where all kinds of things happen, and from your own experience, you know, things start trending one way, and then it just becomes a runway runaway train, and things, you know, get thrown out of whack a little bit. But I do see a deep draft. I like the defensemen in this draft. There's a lot of right-handed defensemen. The size of the forwards may not be as big. When I say big, I mean, you know, size-wise as far as height and what they're able to do from that vantage point. But they're very skilled forwards in this draft. Some right-handed Ds, some top-flight Ds. Goaltending, I don't expect a goalie to go in the first round, but for the most part, I think it is a deep draft, and you'll see some players maybe 5-6 years down the road will be saying, how did that guy go in the late second, third round this year?
So who are some of your favorites or even your definitive favorite for who the Sabres may or may not pick at 9? But it, like, I know in your mock draft, you had the center from Winnipeg, right, going to them?
Yes, I did. That you know, I really believe that, you know, Matthew Savoy, the center. There are two good centers from Winnipeg this year, Connor Geeky and Matt Savoy. Both are top-end players. I believe they were the top two picks in the WHL draft when they entered that league as well. So, but I would say that Savoy is further along than Geeky. Geeky has the size. Savoy is just that really splash. I mean, he pulls fans out of your seat. Great wheels, dynamic player, makes plays at high speed. You know, was one of the best players in the Dub this year. He did sustain a shoulder injury in the WHL playoffs, Joe, versus you know, Edmonton. But at the combine, I did speak to him. He was without a sling. The sling was off, and he told me he was going to be back on the ice in a few weeks, which by now I would imagine he is back on the ice. So I like what Matt Savoy brings, special player, dynamic kid. I think he'll make a great centerman, and he's really, really good on special teams. He could do wonders on the power play, and I love it. I mean, Sabres fans, just go check this kid out on YouTube, the highlights. Type in Savoy shorthanded. You'll see some great stuff that he's able to do on the penalty kill as well. So a real versatile player in that regard, and I think if he's there for the Sabres, I think it'd be a great pick for them.
So you mentioned there's two centers from Winnipeg, Connor Geeky being the other one. Would he be available to them at 16, or is he like going right around that range, so maybe it would be close?
It'll be close, Joe, but you know what? I think he may go around that range. I don't have my mock in front of me, but I think I had him in that area, in fact, where he might go in that range. You know, Geeky to me is taller, lankier. He reminds Central Scouting's John Williams a bit of Joe Thornton at this age and the way he skates. And that's been the one constant thing that I've heard from scouts is the skating. You know, did he improve enough? Is he going to improve? What's the ceiling on this kid as far as skating goes? The coaching staff, James Patrick is the coach at Winnipeg, the former NHL defenseman for the Rangers. And he said that the skating really improved over the second half of the season. He likes what he saw. You know, legs can look a little bit heavy at times, especially in back-to-back games or 3-and-3 nights. But Geeky's got real good vision, playmaking, more of a playmaker than a shooter to me. He's got no fear in playing a game because he has great size physically or pressure-wise. And I think You know, looking at what he's been able to do this year and in the playoffs, too, I thought he put up some nice numbers. You know, there's times when he looks like he's lumbering out there, and then there's a loose puck, and somehow he gets a step on a defenseman, takes it to the net, and makes a real good play. So, yes, I do believe that if he's there, I think it would make a pretty decent selection for the Sabres in that number 16 spot. But I know on my mock, and I just called it up now as I was talking, I do have Buffalo taking Leon Bichel, the defenseman from Lakeside. I know that, you know, after you get a player as dynamic as Matt Savoy, if they're fortunate enough to maybe grab him with that first pick in the first round, why not take a defenseman, a real top-flight defenseman who I really like this year? He's born in Switzerland. He's a left-shot guy, moves really well. Joe, the guy's 6'5", 225 pounds. He makes a real good first pass out of defensive zone, really aggressive in battles around the net. And, you know, I like what he was able to do with in Sweden, in the Swedish Hockey League, the top professional men's league in Sweden with Leksand. So I think that'd be a great pick for the Sabres at 16 for sure.
How about, is it Ivan Mirshoshenko? Am I pronouncing his last name right? The Russian prospect?
Ivan Mirshoshenko. Yep, that's the kid, and I'm sure you're going to ask where these Russian players are going to fall.
Yeah, he's more complicating, right? Because of the Hodgkin's lymphoma and like the health questions.
Yes. He came down with the Hodgkin's lymphoma earlier this season. He was having a great season, and Joe, this was a kid that was projected early in the season to go maybe top five, top ten in his draft. But for the most part, you know, he got sick, and he has been able to recover. With good treatment that he received in Germany during the U18s, he was able to meet with a lot of clubs that were there to view a lot of the prospects in this draft class. It looks like he might not be able to play competitive hockey early next season, when the Continental League starts up or if the Russian leagues, if he starts out and the Junior League starts up. But for the most part, Mirshoshenko is a top-flight prospect. Unfortunately, he got sick, got ill, and it's a thing that I'm sure teams are going to be questioning about. He wasn't at the NHL Combine for obvious reasons. No Russian players were brought over. Belarusian players were brought over to the Combine unless you play in the Ontario Leagues or the Canadian Hockey League. But Mirshoshenko, to me, is a player that I kept going back and forth, Joe. I had him going in the first round early in my mocks, then later on, listening to some of the scouts, the combine, and what they feel, how they feel these Russian players are going to be picked, I do have them maybe going in the second round. But that could be a great pick, and we all know that, you know, outside the top 10, top 15 in the NHL draft at least, you know, you got to show patience. There's got to be patience with these players, and for the most part, you're not going to see them in the NHL until maybe 2, 3, 4 years down the road. So if you're able to get a player like Ivan Mirshoshenko, and I know the Sabres have that third pick there in the first round, if you want to take a shot, why not?
Yeah. Have you heard anything about like Russian prospects like going later this year than past years because of the war that's going on in Ukraine and complicating factors that wouldn't have been existent in past years?
It's something, you know, while you don't want to really make it a big deal, it's there. It's on everyone's mind. It's you know, how long are these players going to be locked in Russia? Are they going to be able to come over when they're ready to come over in North America? Mm-hmm. Daniela Yurov is the player that I still think is going to go in the first round of this draft. He played in Russia last year, had an exceptional season, really, really good prospect with a great shot, a lot of speed. I think that's a player that, you know, you've seen him play, you've seen him compete, and I think one team with multiple picks in the first round is going to take a chance on him. But, yeah, Joe, that's the feeling I'm getting when talking to some of the guys over at NHL Central Scouting, you know, some of the people in the scouting community and some of the scouts from the NHL clubs when I was at the Combine. They did say that it's going to be interesting to see where these Russian players fall, but I do think of all these Russian players, Daniel Yurov is a player that's going to be too good to pass up, possibly in the mid to late first round of his draft.
Mike Morial of NHL.com on the Western Hotline. Mike, before I let you go, I got two Devils questions. Mike also covers the New Jersey Devils.
Yep.
One on Lindy Ruff, who is a fan favorite here. Everybody loves Lindy, and everyone's always curious about how he's doing. It sounded like, Mike, maybe at the end of the year there was a chance that that would be it, that he wouldn't get another season. He is. I mean, at least it seems like he is. Yep. How has it gone? And I'd imagine, given what it sounded like at the end of this past season, might be a short rope for him going into next year?
I think that's a fair point, Joe. I do. I think that I respect what Tom Fitzgerald, the general manager for the Devils, is doing with regard to the situation. Let's face it. I mean, the Buffalo Sabres had their share of goaltenders that you went through six goalies this year, and the Devils went through seven goalies last year.
Yeah.
So you go through that many goalies and not sure who's in net, who's stopping the puck. I mean, obviously, Jack Hughes went out 33 games with the upper body injury. They lost Dougie Hamilton for an equal amount of games, 30 games this season. So it was almost, Joe, like an incomplete for Lindy Ruff. And despite all that, the one constant I can tell you after watching the Devils day in and day out, they never stopped competing. And I think that's a credit to Lindy Ruff and what he's able to do, how he's able to really dial into these young players. You would think for a little bit of an older coach here, obviously Lindy has so much experience with all kinds of players, but sometimes those older coaches want to rely a little bit more on those veteran leaders, those veteran players that can make things happen. But the only thing with the Devils is this is a young team, and that was the curious thing for me. How is he going to dial in and get you know, really show these young players how to respond to adversity, how to respond to a few losses in a row? And while they may not have won, that next game following a loss, the compete was there. The game was tied late. It was just a matter of knowing how to win late. And, you know, that comes with experience. And I think Tom Fitzgerald saw that. Jack Hughes, you know, gave his approval when asked about how'd you, like the coaching of Lindy Ruff. He said, he's been great for me. I like going into the meetings with him, learning about what I need to do to be better, not only offensively. We know what Jack Hughes can do offensively, but defensively as well. Lindy has really helped him, on the backside of the puck and in his zone and creating transition and getting the puck out. So it's been a learning process. So I think Tom Fitzgerald, and while I agree with you, Joe, that I certainly believe there's going to be a short leash this year. They've got to get to the playoffs. I think for Tom Fitzgerald too, enough's enough. The players feel the same way. So it's playoffs or bust for the Devils this year. And if they get off to a slow start, that might be tough for Lindy and the rest of the season.
And then final one for me. We've talked a lot about the Sabres chasing, and there have been rumors about them being interested in chasing PK Subban in free agency. They have great left-shot defensemen, but they are pretty barren when it comes to the right side of the blue line. And on top of that, they have $40 million in cap space. So not only do they kind of have to spend money on somebody to reach the cap floor, they probably have to overpay somebody. And Subban kind of fits for a lot of that. Of course, he's got to want to come here in the first place, but what's your opinion on where he is in his career, Mike? Because it seemed a couple of years ago that he may be shot, but the more and more I didn't watch him every night, the more and more I read about what his tenure in New Jersey was like, it sounded like last year was kind of a bounce back.
It was a little bit, Joe. I'd say that. You know, look, Subban's prime is far behind him, right? With that said, his average, AAV is going to go way down from the $9 million he was going to get. You still get paid. You know, he's getting more of a number 5-7 defenseman these days. He for the most part with the Devils, he played like a bottom four role with the club, either that second line pairing or third line pairing. But you know, PK was the one thing I could say about PK is he's as motivated as anyone to really reach that high level. I mean, he wants to be a player that, while, with the Devils, he was helping out a lot of young players, and he was certainly capable of doing that. But this is a guy that, really wants to get with a team that's going to be in a playoff run, whether it's, a long playoff run, and really help them. And the Sabres are in a spot right now. We saw it towards the latter, end of last season with the young players they possess, some of the veteran guys, this is a team that's, as the Devils, are going to really push for a playoff spot this year. So to me, yeah, I think PK Subban as a right-handed defenseman, maybe in that, you know, the bottom part of the defensive lineup, can just be a filler right there to help out some young players to be consistently good. I mean, every so often he was on the power play for the Devils. He does a little PK every so often as well. So I think he's a player that, as long as he's not on the ice, you know, taking, you know, silly penalties, which sometimes mm-hmm. was the curse for the Devils last year with the penalties he was taking. But towards the latter stages of the season, he stopped that. He did what Coach Lindy Ruff wanted him to do, which was to lead the way he was capable of leading at the age he is. So I think PK Subban would make a fine addition to any club. And you know, talking to him at the end of the season, Joe, if I could just wrap it up here, talking to him at the end of the season, he did say that, you know, when I asked about retirement and how far off is it, he says, no. He goes, I'm not even thinking about that. He goes, look, I really want to still play this game. I think I can still play this game. He goes, you know, I just want to get a chance to get back into the playoffs and to have that opportunity and to showcase what I can do, and whether I need to help young players, play with some veteran players, it doesn't matter to me. I just want another shot, another chance.
All right, well, we'll see what happens with him. Free agency is in 2 weeks. The draft is in 1 week. And again, if you want to check out Mike's stuff, the mock draft is up at NHL.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at Mike Moriel NHL. And the podcast is good, too. Check the podcast out, NHL Draft Class. Hey, Mike, always a good chat. Thanks for joining us, and enjoy the draft next week.
Thanks a lot, Joe. Have a great evening. Enjoy the draft, buddy.
You too. Mike Moriel on the Western Hotline.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.